Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine.
Emma Dawson is the CEO of Per Capita. And Per Capita, look, I describe it as it's a progressive think tank. It's independent. They talk about and they do research on a whole range of issues, and particularly an issue they've been doing a lot of work on recently is superannuation. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good. Now, did I describe that well, or have I got it off the pace a bit?
No, absolutely fine. Yeah, we're a small public policy think tank based here in Melbourne, and we do work on a range of issues, but particularly focused on issues of inequality, and particularly economic inequality, and retirement incomes are a big focus for us. So super's obviously a big part of that.
So superannuation, there's a lot of discussion, although some might say there's a lot of bullying going on around superannuation, particularly some members of the federal government backbench and some members of the federal government, including the Minister for Superannuation, who actually seems to have a couple of different views on this. I'm not quite sure what her view is. I suppose it depends who she's talking to and what day it is. But they're talking about the superannuation guarantee, and that the next increase of 0.5%, which is due next year, is that right, Emma?
That's right. It's due to take effect on the 1st of July next year.
Okay, that should we not do that? You know, should we, you know, postpone it? What I don't understand about this, Emma, is we're talking about 0.5%. We're not talking about 5%. We're talking about 0.5%. Now, I realise that is a cost to business, but 0.5%? I mean, really? Haven't the federal government got more important things to worry about than this sort of, well, I call it virtue signalling? You know, like, what's it about?
So there's certainly a cohort of people within the current coalition government that have always been hostile to universal super, compulsory super, and that has a range of reasons to do with the fact that, for example, the best performing funds are industry funds, which are operated by the unions, which of course they hate, and that those funds have got increasing power in the market, and many of them are using their market power, you know, as significant shareholders in Australian companies to insist on things like environmental protections and regulations that would force those companies to provide safer workplaces, better labour conditions and so on. So there are a range of reasons why people are ranged against super. And then from the other side, there's a chorus of voices that say, well, actually it reduces take-home pay. And so it is that argument that members of the government, in particular Andrew Bragg, who's a senator for New South Wales and has long been hostile to super, is using that argument to say, well, in this crisis, if we put super up by 0.5% next year, and it's important to note that it's going to go up by 0.5% every year until it gets to 12% in 2025, that if we do that, then that will come out of wages, that will come out of take-home pay.
But it's not going anywhere near. It's not going anywhere near towards MPs' superannuation contributions, which are currently sitting at 15%, as I understand.
15.6%.
So it's okay for us, but not okay for workers.
Precisely. So they're saying, well, you know, actually, you'd be better off with that money in your pocket now, and you can just rely on the age pension. down the track. Whereas, you know, they're taking home 15.6% of their very comfortable parliamentary salaries. And it's important to remember that a lot of people, a lot of high income earners across our country, not just politicians, but high public service, people in the public service, people in university sectors, a lot of people on individual contracts and enterprise bargaining agreements have higher rates of super already. They're on 12, 15, sometimes even 17%. It's really workers that rely on the award wage system and the minimum guarantee, the super guarantee, that get this boost. And the argument that it's going to come out of their wages is, frankly, nonsense, given that we haven't seen real wage growth in Australia since 2013. And under the Abbott government in 2014, that was meant to start, the best year was meant to start going up in 2015. The Abbott government froze it and said we'd rather see that money go into the pockets of workers. And guess what? It didn't. It was pocketed by their employers instead.
So they say, Emma, that, you know, they're concerned about this reduces wages. I would have thought that actually doing something to reduce the casualisation of the workforce, to actually do something to enforce award conditions and workplace safety conditions, which I've got to be honest, not enough is being done, that will have more effect. I mean, 0.5%, this is purely political.
It is political. 0.5% on the average wage in Australia is $4 a week.
Yeah.
So it's the price of a cup of coffee for your boss, but in retirement it could mean an extra $10,000 to $15,000 for a 40-year-old worker now. So to argue that that's unaffordable for business is really a false argument. But also to say, oh, well, they'll have to, your wage won't go down, but it might grow more slowly than it otherwise would have, when wages haven't grown at all since 2013, is a nonsense argument too. So effectively, in the current climate, workers can either get the super increase or they'll get nothing. You know, they won't get any additional wage growth. And you've made a really excellent point there. The problem with wage growth isn't super, it's the lack of bargaining power for workers. You know, they're casualised, they have no power to say, well, and particularly in a recession now with 10% unemployment, you can't say to your boss, well, if you don't give me a wage rise, I'm going to go elsewhere.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So your bargaining power's really non-existent.
So to say, you know, where some of these MPs say, well, you know, perhaps, you know, the age pension or whatever, the government doesn't have, they've been sitting on a report for some time, they don't have a retirement incomes policy. It's a multiple choice question, but no one knows what the answer is because the government haven't made up their mind. All they're doing is taking random pot shots at different policy areas and making decisions that are actually not in the best interests of workers or employers. They're doing it purely and simply based on their political.
Let's take that as a comment, Macca.
Political.
But they don't have
a retirement incomes policy.
I'd like to ask you a question, Emma. I mean, I've been watching this. I mean, you know, Macca and I are at the sort of retirement end of our spectrum. We're mature.
Actually, we're fully vested. There you go.
There you go.
Emma, why is this government hell-bent on destroying super? What's motivating them? I mean, you would have thought that to encourage people to actually build a nest egg so that they are not dependent on the welfare sector would actually be the right thing to do. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, well, you would also think it would be a fairly liberal position to sort of encourage people to fund their own retirement.
Correct.
And not rely on the state. So it sort of goes back to what I said earlier, which is the way that our super system was set up, the way that universal super was introduced, of course, was through a deal between the Hawke and Keating governments and the trade union movement to defer a demand for wage rises and instead have the creation of what was then 3% super. And then it was set to grow over time, originally 15%. So it was the creation of the union movement. It was something fought for decades before it came in by unions across the country that recognised that workers were retiring into poverty. They had nothing to rely upon but the age pension, and that was set at, you know, the changes to the age pension and the recognition that it needed to be indexed to wages took decades. So they wanted to create some autonomy for working people and some ability for working people to fund a better retirement than they were having. So and of course, over time, retail funds have come in, private sector funds have come in, and as the Financial Royal Commission found a couple of years ago, it was those private funds that are really ripping people off, whereas the industry funds perform very well for their members and all the profits are returned to members. But it's the growing power of that industry super fund sector that has a lot of corporate Australia and a lot of members of the Liberal Party in particular who are who see business as their constituency and see capital rather than labour as their constituency. It has them worried because the representatives of these union-run industry funds are sitting on now on, around the corporate board tables of large organisations, and they're saying, well, I've got a significant shareholding in this company and I want you to get out of investment in fossil fuels. I want you to stop polluting with your business activities. I want you to introduce stronger wages conditions. I want a higher share of our profits going to wages. So there's a real, it's the age-old battle between capital and labour that really lies at the heart of this ideological dispute.
So they're clearly threatened by a stronger workforce, essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that comes down, that's it in a nutshell. And obviously, you know, per capita is a very progressive labourist pro-worker think tank, so I'm going to be quite explicit about that in a way that a lot of commentators won't be. But there's no earthly reason for a party that purports to support individual responsibility, as the Liberal Party does, to be attacking people's ability to save for their own retirement. Right. Some of the libertarians in its ranks, like Tim Wilson and Senator Patterson, who were formerly both, of course, with the IPA, will say, well, they object to the coercion element, that people are forced, it's compulsory that they're forced to save for their retirement and it should be optional. But
well, they could donate their super contributions back to consolidated revenue then.
Precisely. And if they don't want to save for their retirement, that's what give them.
Before
Universal came in, it was an optional system and it was offered by individual employers. Yes. And guess who were the only ones that had it?
That's right.
High income
executives, white collar workers, full time working men that earned six figure salaries in the 80s.
I'm glad you said that.
Tass and I both were invited to join the funds. It wasn't
after a medical test.
Right. Look, unfortunately, we're out of time, Emma. I would like to revisit this. Let's do it perhaps a month or so, because it's a really interesting subject and it concerns a lot of listeners. Perhaps some of them don't realise how much it does matter to them. So,
and Emma, please pass on my my regards to your colleague Tanya Kovac.
I shall indeed.
Excellent.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.